Okay, so we're asked to just maybe highlight a few odds and ends of things related to the mitzvah sukkis. So we'll try to talk a little bit about that, and then we'll try to spend some time a little bit, some divrei Cyrus on the cross, Yom Kippurim. So of course, the primary mitzvah of sukkis is the mitzvah deraisa b'sukkis teishu shivus yomim. What a wonderful, gavalik opportunity to perform this mitzvah, kedasu chedin. So when we speak about the mitzvah of sukkah, so really two different parts you have to focus on, not all that different from other mitzvahs. You have to first identify the halachas that govern the chefetz shel mitzvah, and then identify the halachas that govern the ma'isa mitzvah. You have that all the time, you know, let's say by shofar, so there are dinim as to what constitutes a kosher shofar, and then once you have a shofar, so what are you supposed to do with the shofar? So we have a lot of sugyas about tefillin, so like we spent the summer learning tefillin, so we spent the first half talking about what is kosher and fair tefillin, and then once you have kosher tefillin, what are you supposed to do with these tefillin? So too, when it comes to sukkah, you have to first identify the chafetz shel mitzvah, then identify what the ma'isa mitzvah is. So the chafetz shel mitzvah of sukkah is really made up of two components. It's made up of the schach, and it's made up of the funos. So when it comes to schach, it's the one constitutes kosher schach, so that's what the Mishnah tells us, that all the halachas of kosher schach revolve around the model that the Torah tells us, chag ha-sukkah stasen, chashim v'jom ba'os b'chom b'gayin v'chom b'yikvechom. But a sukkah is made, the psil is going to be yekid. It has to be made from the leftovers in the threshing place. So what's left over in the threshing place? After I get out all my grapes and my wine and my olive oil and the grain, and what's left behind? What's left behind? The branches. What's left behind? The psilis. Psilis going to be yekid. So must make branches. The Teshuvah Mappeh explains to us that branches have a few characteristics to them. So number one, they're not makabel tuma. They're not a clean, just a couple of branches, sticks on the floor, so they're not makabel tuma. That's number one. So anytime, they're not edible, so they're not to masoicha, not to maskalim. So anything to be kosher schach can't be done with makabel tuma. Number two, it has to be something that's gedulo min ha'aretz. It has to be something that grew from the ground, like the branches, like the leftover of the in the Goren V'yekev. And number three, it has to be something that's tolish for the karka. It can't still be connected to the karka. So any one of those three things are present, then you're looking into trouble. So those are the halachas that govern the schach. So it's for this reason, you have to be very, very careful that what you're using for schach is not makabel tuma. What are things that are makabel tuma? Ochlan are makabel tuma, and kalim are makabel tuma. So any schach that would be a kli would, of course, pose a problem. So there happens to be a halacha that in order to be makabel, tumas kli'etz is one of those kelim that the Torah speaks about, the Pasha Shmini is being susceptible to tuma. In order to be makabel tuma as a kli'etz, it has to be something that has a base kibble to it. It has to be something that has a receptacle to it. Mamlin's afam sukim, a beggar of sak or kli'etz, it's a hukash le'sak. A sak means like a bag. So a bag made out of goat's hair or something, that's the sach that the Torah is describing. So it has to be something that yesh la base kibble, has to have a receptacle. It doesn't have a base kibble, so it's not makabel tuma altogether. In order to qualify as a base kibble, it has to be nasa l'kach l'shem kibble. It has to be that I made it like a bowl. If I make a bowl, that's a davar makabel tuma. So if I would take a whole bunch of wooden salad bowls and put it on the sach, that would be possible min ha'tara. What if I have something that has a little bit of shtickle receptacle to it, but nobody really planned it to be a receptacle. No one could care less about it serving as a receptacle. It's not nasa l'kibul. So that's not makabel tuma. That's the reason why we use branches. Branches are not base kibul chal, and many of us use bamboo. So every once in a while, bamboo cracks a little bit of water gets into the bamboo. So, new chumra, the bamboo's possible because it's makabel tuma. Nah, it's not true. It's a little nasa l'kibul. Nobody, if you decided that you're going to use, you want to walk around with a piece of bamboo as your cup of water, as a bottle of water, you're going to walk around, you make a little hole in the bamboo, and you pour water into it, and you walk around with it, so that's not a makabel tuma. That bamboo would be possible in a Torah, the schach. But if it just cracked, just fell on the floor a little bit of water gets inside of something, that's a gunge, that's a nothing. There's a machlekes harishayim, a big, big, big machlekes harishayim, nuchas mikvos. Nuchas mikvos, so there's a din that mayim shu'uvin pasal ha-mikvah. If you have water that was inside a kli, so it's it could ruin for a mikvah. So the definition of kalim for hilchas mikvahs is not the same as for hilchas tumas kalim. Let's say you have a kli avonim. Let's say you have a stoneware vessel. So a stone kli is not makabatum. Kli avonim are not makabatum. Not at all. Not metar. Not midir rabbanim. But the Mishnah says that if you have water that collected in a stone vessel, that's ma'am shuvah that can pass the mikvah. Machlekes Rishonim whether that's a din derais or din derabbanim that ma'am shuvah passes. It's 2 days and times above Basra, believe it or not, fourth parak above Basra. For some reason, I got stuck into above Basra. We're probably not going to make it to the fourth parak at this rate. We're definitely not going to make it to the fourth parak, even if we skip the first two parak. But even if we skip the first three parak, we won't get to that sukkah. So, Ma'am Shuvit is a problem, and the mission is in the favor. They can have a kli that's not a kabotuma, but it's still possible to make a mishuv shuvit. So, there's a big machlekes Rishonim. What if I have a kli? It has a base kibul, but it wasn't nasla kach l'shem kibul. I didn't mean to make it the teres kibul. Is that called a kli for the purposes of the shuvin? So most of the rishonim say it's not. The same way that nuchas tuma, if it's not nasla kach l'shem kibul, so then it's nishkin kli. So too, nuchas shuvin, that's not considered to be a kli. Another rishonim say no. The same way that shuvin follows its own set of rules, it doesn't follow the guidelines and parameters of nuchas tuma. So too, if you have a kli that was lemais, that's makabel. Even though you didn't make the L'shem Kabbalah, but L'mais, it's Mekabal water. So even though it's not Mekabal Tumah, it's like a Kli Avonim, and it's still going to pass the Mikvah. That's a huge, huge Nafka Mina Ladina. So that's what favors Machlekes the Rishonim. So Ruben the Rishonim Baskin, that you need Kavanas Kibul both for Tumah as well as for Mayim Shuvah Lefsolas and Mikvah. And the Maharik quotes others, where Machmed is, where Mordechai quotes Rabbeinu Shemaya, who was Machmed, and the Rabbi Shemaya, and the two, I think, two girls also, his name was Rabbi Shemaya, Rabbi Shemaya, whoever it was. So one of the Rishonim was Machmed and the Shaila. So this is the source for an issue that comes up in Nuchas Mikvos. When we fill up a mikvah, so we always want to make sure that the pipes on top of the mikvah, the pipes are not considered to be a base kibul, because they're open on both ends. So that's the Ferish and Mishnah. When the water can't collect, you turn the pipes as where the water's going to fall out. But let's say there's a little crack in the pipe or something. I didn't make a crack in the pipe. A crack developed by itself. And now a little water collects inside the hole in the pipe, inside the crack in the pipe. So some place can say that the pass of the whole mikvah. Because any water that passes through that crack in the pipe is considered to be like it went into a bottle, into a cup, even though it's made out of plastic. We use plastic pipes. It's not a kabotum, plastic, not a kabotum, but it's still called a base kibul, and that's a problem. And other posts say, well, there's a joke, because that's not a base kibul. That wasn't made like a kabotus kibul. Who cares if the water is collected? Nobody wants it to collect there. That would be okay. So that's a huge, huge bachlankus. So that's a big, big issue. When you use pipes, how serious you have to be that there are no cracks in the pipes. So when we build a mikvah, we try to build a mikvah that's kosher l'chatchila according to everybody. So we're very, very careful. When we build a mikvah, we run our hands along the pipes to make sure that they're totally smooth. Lagami smooth, there's no cracks, no indentations, no nothing. I was one when we filled up the mikvah in Paramus, when we built it as our own Paramus, so I told the story with the... So when we filled up the mikvah in Paramus, so the Rav who was helping us, the Chassidish fellow, the Mumchen Mikvos, he was our go-to person. So he wanted me to come with him onto the roof, to climb up to the roof, to feel the pipes, to make sure that everything is smooth before we, open it up in order for the water to come in. So I climb up on top of the roof, and he tells me to run my hand through the whole pipe and make sure that I'm comfortable, that it's totally, completely smooth. So I said, feels smooth to me. So it feels good to me. So he did it also. He puts his hand and he says, no, there's a bias kibul. So there's a bias kibul here. He is the bias kibul. Where's the bias kibul? He says, on the screws that screw the pipe into the roof, so the screw heads are a bias kibul. Some of the water can collect in those little notches of the screws. So you have 50 screws there, so then you can add up enough water, so maybe give a lugan of Mayim Shuvim over the course of filling up the mikvah. So he says, no good. He said, it's no good. He said, there's no kavanas kibul. So he said, yeah, well, chayishesh for the Ben Shmaya, the Marik says, we should build the mikvah according to everybody. So we wouldn't want to build the mikvah that way. So I'm standing there 12 feet on the top of the roof. I said, what do we do? Comes prepared for everything. He pulls out of his bekisha. He pulls out of a blob of silly putty. And he knew there was going to be screw heads. He does this, that's what he does all day. So he stuffs up each and every screw head with silly putty. So now there's no mabayis kibul anymore. But, okay, he didn't do that. It's quite the most discussion. Okay, good. Back to the story. So, but in Hilchos Sukkah, when it's not a function of Mayim Shuvah, it's a function of Tumah, so Tumah Taka for sure requires a Kavanah's Kibbutz. So therefore the bamboo is a letter of these Kavanah, wonderful. Do we ever have any Shailas of Tumah on our Schach? So we could run into the following, even though there's a din that Kli Eitz is only Mekabal Tumah, if it has a base Kibbutz, there's an exception to that rule. The exception to that rule is, if it's Miyucha L'Kach L'Mishka V'L'Mayshav. That's what the Mishnayos tell us, that if you have a kli that somebody can sit on, that's normal to sit on, so then that's a problem. So, the Torah says that even though it doesn't have meet the regular rules of Tumas Kalim, but if it's the Rav L'Kach L'Yeshiva, it's made L'Kach L'Yeshiva, so then that's a problem. That's B'Kavotunu L'Gamri. So that's what the Mishnah speaks about at the end of the first paragraph of Masechet Sukkah. If you take a lot of branches and you connect them together and you make a map. So,
are they all serious causes as to why, like, base kibbutz, or why is it the yeshiva that it's
in Kavta? All of them, the Rambam writes, all of them, the last Rambam Duchat Mikvel says, all of them, the Tarek, goes all of the Chusam Lotayim, it's all Chukim. So, if we understood the Chukim, like we understood the Mishpat, then we'd be able to understand it. But it's hard to say as far as the Chusam. I said that Reb Chaim said Shiurim and Velozhin in Taras. He said, in Kach Mitaras, he said Shiurim. That was like a big breakthrough. Now, you know, today's world, so now Wolbrisk says Shurim and Kachim. In those days, it was unheard of in the Litvish world. She was going to say Shurim and Kachim and Taras. So, you know, one of the Gedolim who was a Talmud of Reb Chaim back in the Volozhin days, Reb Chaim, you know, Reb Chaim came to Volozhin, and everyone knows the background. Originally, the Sim, the Beis Halevi, with the Kavar Shishivas in Volozhin. And then the Beis Halevi left, and they went to Brisk. And then when Reb Chaim married the Nitziv's granddaughter, so the Nitziv pulled him back. So Reb Chaim took over basically as the Kohresh Yeshiva, younger, he was significantly younger, he was married to the granddaughter of the Nitziv. So he was called back to say, I don't know how old Reb Chaim was in those days, 30 maybe, I don't know, something like that. So Reb Chaim was saying Shurim, so he was saying Shurim in Volozhin, so they asked Reb Chaim to say, like, not necessarily the regular shiur, he was saying like for unique chaburas, like that. He would say, if you want to hear some chaburas in Kach Mitaros, things off the beaten path. So Reb Chaim used to say shurim in that. Then he said also, Nosh Musikin also, but he said like on different things. So one of the Gedolim, who was a Talmud in Volozhin at the time, writes that when Reb Chaim said shiurim in Nosh and Ezekiel, so then everyone, Mamash, was like, it was like a party, it was like Sipras Torah. Like all the people would come from different parts of Europe to wherever they were to make it to Volozhin. And Reb Chaim was saying that's Zman on the Nosh Merzikin, something to hear Reb Chaim's Chiddush Torah. 99% of what we have for Reb Chaim is from those days. Those were the years that he was saying shit. Then Lady became, after Volozhin closed, after the government shut down, the Russian government shut down Volozhin, so then Reb Chaim went back to Brisk, and then he became the Rav of Brisk. So then he wasn't really a Shiva in Brisk, he was a Rav of Brisk. So, but the Shurim that we have, all the stuff that Reb Chaim was the Ruba from the days when he was in saying Shurim in Volozhin. So they say that when he was saying Shurim in Nosh Ben Ezekiel, so it was Mamash Simcha, people coming from all Arba Kafas Aretz to hear the Shurim. So when Reb Chaim would say Shurim in Kach Mitaras, this Gal, whatever it was, this Gal writes, even the great Tamir Chachavim, Poshet weren't holding. They didn't have the background. Zak Kach Mitaras. Those were before the days when every Yeshiva Bach went off to Eretz Yisrael Kach for 3 years. The Babish weren't holding. You know, the Gemara is a little bit, but they weren't. Then he was saying Shurim and Taras. He was saying over Tairis and Tairis and Taras. And it's partial. It was hard for people to hold cup. They didn't appreciate. They didn't understand. You know, they you say this. So we have a lot of stuff. Reb Chaim has so much stuff in Taras. People don't even realize that. If you look at Chiddush Reb Chaim al Rambam, everyone knows where the most Reb Chaims are. There are more Reb Chaims in Chistumas Meis than any other area. Pages and pages of Shtikl Torah in Chistumas Meis. They say that the Reb Chaim put together those pieces on Chistumas Meis later in his life. I have to check the chronology. They say he put them together, he worked on them much harder later in his life because as he felt he was getting older, so we get older, so the Yomamisa starts to stand in the face. So they said Reb Chaim's way of avoiding getting nervous about Yom HaMisa. He threw himself into Maseches Olas and he said over Shtikl Torah and about Tumas Meis. That's where the story goes. I wasn't in Brisk, I wasn't in Volozhin, I have no idea. And that's always up to Olam. Anyway, So back to the story. So why did I tell you the story?
Even Briska's learning his stuff from Tyrus.
Yeah, Tyrus, yeah, Briska's learning Tyrus. I mean, Tyrus comes up, you know, catch him sometimes.
Sorry, so. I asked him there's Xerxes customs for all these.
Oh, that's how we got it. Your fault. Right. Okay, good. So Royal the Yeshiva. I thought this was free association today. Okay. So, like every other day. So there's a din that if you have a mat, that's what the Mishnah said at the end of the first book of Sukkah, if you have, you take some reeds. The reeds themselves are a branch or whatever. Not from a couple. But if you tie them all together and you make a mat that people sit on, so that becomes a problem. You can't use that as schach, because that's Royal the Yeshiva. Once in Meitlik of the Yeshiva, that's a problem. So this was the Shaila when they first started to make the schach mats years ago. So when I was a kid, there was no thing as schach mats. When I was a little kid, people weren't even really using bamboo. It wasn't so prevalent. I remember when bamboo was, I don't remember exactly what year they started to use bamboo, but when I was a kid, man, most sukkahs were not using bamboo. They were using branches. They were using the pine stuff, you know. And I don't remember the grass. What were they using in Vienna? Do you remember back 30 years ago? I don't know whether it was branches. I don't know. It probably wasn't bamboo. I imagine it was that they weren't using bamboo when you were a kid. Even when I was a kid, they weren't using bamboo. So then they started to use the bamboo poles, and then someone came with a chop. It's easier than making poles. Tie them all together and make a mat out of it. So someone was like, wait a second. That's a kabotuma. What do you mean? People are sitting on the mats. So they did some research. They were making these mats in China. So in China, it's very common. The people sit on these bamboo mats in China. So that's a problem. So you have to make sure that the mats are being made dafka for the purpose of schach. That's what the Mishnah says, that if it's made lekach, not to sit on. Nobody wants to sit on it. So if it's made dafka, not to be sit on. So then it's okay. So that's what they have when they make these mats. So they claim that they have a shkichim who go to China and stand there in the factories and tell them you have to make it l'shem, not l'shem sitting. There shouldn't be a chashash. that's what's happening. So that's what you're going to buy a mat with Ashkoch. That's what they're telling you. That's what they're making sure that's happening. So, okay. There are other issues that come up with the mats sometimes.
Is there a way to switch the machshava? Meaning to say that even though it was made for a mat, like if you do a
shabbat? Well, once it's made, so kol ha-kelim yodel they tumah b'machshava vein ol el b'shiri maisa. You would have to mamish figure out some kind of a way to make a shiri maitz on it. Just ein machshava mos with the machshava b'kachim.
A guy's allowed to make it l'shem schach.
So it doesn't have to be made l'shem schach. That's the thing. It doesn't have to be made l'shem schach. It has to be that it's not a halach like baking matzahs l'shem l'shma. It's just that this run is being done not for sitting on it. So some claim that the mats are made in such a way that they're not really comfortable to be made on. Even the goyim in China wouldn't sit on these mats. They're too big. They're not comfortable. They know one's going to walk around. They're very heavy. They're klutzy. So it could be that the Matzias at the bottom is that these mats are taka made. Emesis they really made. Again, that's what we assume. Everyone uses the whole island. Everybody uses these mats. So the assumption is that they're not really being made. That they're going to understand. You know, it's not like a halach mashini need l'shma over here. It's just that, practically speaking, it's got to be made not to be sitting on.
Would it be nice to take it out of the machshava and be able to paint it?
I don't think so.
Is it the one there?
I don't know what you'd have to do with it. I don't know how you would make it. Change your mind. I have no idea. You got to learn Tyrus. Okay, back to Brisk.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they want us to believe that they're not sitting.
I mean, when the Badatz is telling you that it's being made, that it's kosher, that's what the Badatz is telling you. What else do I need Hashkocha for? The Badatz is telling you that they sent some guy out to China and they're telling them that these kinds of mats are not. There's an interview that there's a tshuva where he talks about nails, also Mikvah Shaila, says that nails are potential klimateches. Klimateches is makabal tuma even if it's not. It doesn't have a base kibbutz, that's beferish. So a nail potentially is a davar makabel tuma. So that's important because mikvahs, because there's a din that you can't close up a mikvah potentially with something makabel tuma. That's a complicated story. Like let's say you have a leak in a mikvah, you want to block the water from leaving, so there's a big machlokes. Maybe that's a problem of havayosai de tarim mikvahs sugya. So the shadows of nails really makabel tuma not. So there's a din that if you made something with shamish as a karka, so it's not makabel tuma. So I made something mitchila to be made for to serve as karka, So even though it was the talit at first, the karka is mufka from tumas. Let's say the marshal hinges on a door. This is a real shaila. Let's say hinges on a door. Hinges on a door. A davar makabel tuma na. My nafki, every tumas mace. Let's say Tachman's going to be a mace in. Let's say there'd be a mace in this room, right? So would it be enough just to close the door to prevent the tumah from spreading? So the din is that a davar makabel tuma is not chaytis b'fnei tuma. Only something that itself is not makabel tuma can stop tuma in its tracks. So the problem is that there's a Mishnah that says that, let's say I have a dover that's not makabel tuma, like a door per se, let's say not a metal door, it's a wooden door. So it's a pshutei kliyei. So it itself is not makabel tuma, but it's being held in place by something that is makabel tuma. Without the dover makabel tuma, it would fall on its face. So the Mishnah says that may be a problem. That's called a dover makabel tuma, that's enu chotzu v'fnei tuma. So there's machlekes the taz meshach and the chastumas meis about whether a door that's a wooden door with metal hinges is that masuk b'fnei tuma, not masuk b'fnei tuma. So the shach claimed that of course it's masuk. Why? He said the door itself is not makabel tuma because it's pshutei kliyeis. The hinges are not makabel tuma because they were made lekach l'shamash as a karka. So the nails are made l'shamash as a karka. So whoever the nails l'shamash as a karka is mufka from tuma. So in the view there's a discussion about who decides whether something was made lekach. Is it decided by the person who's working the factory or it's decided by the customer? So it's very possible it's decided by the customer. So I don't care if the guy's in China thinking. The guy in China thinks he's making... The guy in China's not planning on using this man in his own house. His job is to press a button. So when the badatz is when the Mahadran schach companies are buying this, they're the ones who's come on the matter. So they for sure have in mind that it should be that it shouldn't be l'shchiva. Whatever the lumbus is, the bottom line is, the minhag olam assumes that these mats, either because the mats themselves are mamish, not royal lekach, then even in China they don't sit in these kinds of mats, or because they're mamish making a special run, not l'shem mats, or because it doesn't matter whether it's special runs, it's the mice, it's for the customers, so the customers come in, whatever, a variety of different reasons, the olam is naig lachal, that the mats are okay. There's another issue that comes up, not just the mats, and that's also related to Kabbalah's Tumah issue. That's the issue of Adav HaMa'amid. It's a similar sugya like the Tumah's Meis. Let's say I have schach. I have kosher bamboo poles, straight bamboo poles or branches, etc. And the schach is totally kosher, but the schach is being held in place by Adav HaTumah. Adav HaKabbalah Tumah. So it's possible to be schach. Is that a problem? So if you ask me, what's the problem? So it's being held in place. Well, it doesn't have to do with anything. So that's what's called the Dabra Ma'amid. So there's Machloikis Amaroim in the second Berakh Masech HaSukkah about a Machloikis Atanoim in the second Berakh Masech HaSukkah. Is that a problem? And there's Machloikis in the Rishonim. How do we pass it on the problem that may or may not be a problem? So when all the dust settles, there's one opinion in Rishonim that maintains that the Dabra Ma'amid is a problem. That the same way that you can't use Schach itself for its Makabal Tumah, you can't even have the Schach being supported by Dabra Makabal Tumah. Why should that be so? So that's a machlekes and rishonim. Is that a deraisa tikka problem? Is that a derabban tikka problem? Is that a deraisa in the sense of if A is holding up B, so A and B is like one unit, so B can't exist without A. So the same way by the door, that if I need the metal poles to hold up the schach is going to fall on its face without it, so that's called being mesach, the double kabbal tumah. That's what Rashi seems to say. And the Ran says, no, the Ran says, man, but a Torah for sure, mom, it's not a problem. It's examined derabbanan. If we let you go ahead and use a davar ma'amid, so next week when you build a sukkah, what are you going to use? You're only going to use that metal pole itself. You're going to forget the schach and just use the metal pole. So it's examined rabbanon. So again, there's machlekes atanoim about something in the second part of the sukkah. Machlekes amaroim, what that one tana said, whatever you knew the tana said. Machlekes rishonim, what they pass like that, and machlekes rishonim, if there's a problem, how serious the degree of is the problem. So that starts off, that's the background, the sacrament in 10 seconds, that's the background of the sugya of Ma'amid. So how do we pask him, Ma'is HaLocha, Ma'is HaMa'amid? So both the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazanish say that Me'ikra, then we pask him Ma'amid, is not a problem. That Me'ikra, then we're not concerned with Ma'amid. But, since some have a little bit of a picnic on it, so we try to avoid Ma'amid if we can. Therefore, when we build sukkahs, let's say a lot of people build a prefab sukkahs, so they have metal poles, the cross beams are metal. So most people have a practice that they don't have the schach rest directly on the metal, but they'll throw in a piece of wood or something on top, or another piece of bamboo, and end up with the schach lying on top of the wood. So that svara is assuming that's not called ma'amid. That's the goal of that middle piece of wood. Everyone has seen that, I'm sure, in the construction.
According to Rashi. don't still be there.
So the Chazdish claims, that you're wasting your time by doing that. This is, you gain absolutely nothing by doing that. That doesn't solve any problems. The Magen Avraham was the one who claimed that it solves the problem. Magen Avraham claims that that's called Ma'amid Dima'amid. And once it's read, Ma'amid Dima'amid, there's always Ma'amid. That's not intended to be Ma'amid anymore. So that's the Magen Avraham says. And Magen Avraham is based on a Rabban. The Chazdish says that B'chalas what the Rabban meant. So this Machlokes Acharonim, whether you even gain anything by that. So the Chazinish was, is known as being the biggest Machmir and the biggest Maker of Hachos Ma'amid. Because he's the biggest Machmir saying that if Ma'amid is a problem, then none of these Kuntzim and games are going to help you. On the other hand, he's the biggest Maker of Ma'amid because he turns around and says, we passed the Ma'amid, is not a problem. So, you know, but Ikra did. So, the bottom line is, the Minigo Elamist have baked those pieces of wood in between. Whether they really accomplish something or not is hard to know, but they're probably not really necessary anyway. So in some of the mats, you have the same kind of an issue because some of the mats are the old mats were held together like with string or something. So it could be that would also be a problem, Mama. So that string is not royal kach to be used for schach for whatever reasons. So because of that problem, some of the more mehudadik mat companies use not regular string. They use string from like a davar gedulah kach or something. They use like some vines and stuff they use. So something that itself would theoretically be kosher for schach. So that's another hiddah, so a few extra dollars. Those who, if you take a look, you can see if you buy mats, you'll see, they'll tell you that it's held together with gedulah karka, and again, an added chumrah. Whether it's necessary or not, it's not clear. It's not even clear that the string is really necessary altogether to hold it. It could be that the pieces will stay in place without the string. It could be it's not even mabin. It's also not clear.
I was going to ask on that point.
Exactly. That's a lot of people, you know, some people use fencing. You go to Home Depot and they just go buy fencing. So the problem with the fencing is usually just wooden slats or something. But the problem with the fencing, it's usually held together by wire, by metal wire. So if you're cheshish for ma'amid, it's a cheshash l'chachil ma'amid. But again, we pass the ma'amid's kosher. And number two, it's not even clear that why it's really necessary. It could be that the branch that would stand with the Baruch would see anyway. So it could be that's not even really considered to be Ma'amid. So again, these are unclear things. These are all shadows, the same shadows. Some people like to tie down this chach. So it's the same story. Ma'amid is either if it's holding it up or if it's keeping it down. Either way, it's considered to be a problem with Ma'amid. So it's probably lechatchila, the way to keep this chach down, is probably better to use like 2x4s. You go to the store, go to Home Depot, and you buy these, you know, the 2x4 planks. So those are probably better than to tie it down with mamish string. Those are tied down with string. Also argue the same thing, that mamish is probably okay. And number two, we're not even sure this is mamish, because it could be that this chach would be able to withstand the normal wind anyway. So it could be it's not really serving such a great role. So you have a lot of these fakes, a lot of these shilas in mamish. Again, you have to have things in perspective. You know, even if all goes wrong, then it's a mamish. It's kosher to be evident anyway. You have to, it's an issue that comes up when you build a sukkah, is in terms of the walls. The Mishnah says that all the halachas that we've been talking about really govern the schach. But in terms of the walls, are kol kshem l'tefanos. Everything is kosher for tefanos. The only thing is, the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Sukkah tells us that it still has to meet the criteria of Hilchus Mechitza. The same way there are dinim that govern Mechitza Hilchus Shabbos, so dinim that govern Mechitza Hilchus Sukkah as well. So there are a bunch of dinim that govern Hilchus Mechitza, so the material is not so important. But the basic shiur of the mechitzas are important. How many mechitzas do you need? A lot of halachas that you got to learn to figure out what's called the kosher mechitza. So the one that always causes the biggest challenge is the sukkah tzemach of sukkah, a mechitza she'en yichol lama b'fnei haruach. If you have a mechitza that can't withstand the normal ruach mitzuya, so that mechitza is not called a mechitza. That's not a mechitza, neither in Shabbos nor for sukkah purposes. That could pose a problem. A mechitza she'en yichol lama b'fnei haruach. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch quotes that you have to be careful if you want to use like sheets or something, sedinim. So Shulchan Aruch says you have to tie them down very, very well that they don't move. Because if they move, then they're going to be puzzled. Because they're not omeh b'fnei ruach mitzuya. So that was a big machlokes. Machlokes the Rishon, a problem. Machlokes the Gedolei Poskim, later generations. How exactly do you define mechitza she'en yichol lama b'fnei ruach mitzuya? So the Chazanish had a bit cooler based on a Ritva. The Chazanish said that Ein Yichol Lama means that if a regular wind will come, that wind will topple the Mechitza. It'll knock the Mechitza down lagamrei on its face. Or it'll lift up the bottom of the sheets so high off the ground that it'll be more than 3 tefachim off the ground, And Misha says that's what's called a mechitza tluya. So mechitza tluya is no good. Because it's not 100% clear why mechitza tluya is no good. It's no good both in Shabbos and in Sukkah. The Gemara seems to say that the reason is because of a bekiyas gedion, because little goats can get under the mechitza, and somehow when little animals can make, I mean, maybe get little mice and little rabbits can go under even less than people, but somehow kachem ralach the shiur was gedion. So if a little animal such as a goat can sneak their way under the mechitza, so that's not really mechitza. Mechitza is supposed to be a barrier, supposed to separate. Mechitza kerem shenifritza. We've mentioned that once or twice this week. So if you have a mechitza that it's 5 feet off the ground, so the gedim, a shpatzir, and underneath the mechitza, so that's called the kiyas gedim, and that passes the mechitza. So it's not 100% clear from the Gemara. The Gemara does mention that svar b'kiyas gedim. It's not 100% clear from the Gemara. Is that the end all? That's the reason? And what if I construct the mechitza such a way that it's more than 3 tefach off the ground, but it's impossible to be b'kiyas gedim? So you have to use a lot of, you know, creativity to figure that out. So there are the Chassam Sofer, the famous Chassam Sofer, it was Erevin, that claims that if you have a mechitza that's more than 3 tefachim off the ground, but it's impossible for there to be b'kiyas gedim there, so then that would be okay. It means as long as you can manage get rid of the b'kiyas gedim issue, so then you're good to go. And the Chazon Ish disagreed and said, no. He says, even though the Gemara talks about b'kiyas gedim, at the end of the day, the shiur was set as 3 tefachim. 3 tefachim, and don't ask any kashas. This comes up in Erevin when you build a Tirus HaPesach, so the place came right, the Tirus HaPesach is governed by a lot of the dinim of Mechitza, so the Tirus HaPesach can't be more than 3 tefachim, the poles of the Tirus HaPesach on the sides can't be more than 3 tefachim off the ground. So this comes up a lot, that very often you will use telephone poles as the poles for Tirus HaPesach. The problem is that very often the wire doesn't run on top of the pole, it runs on the sides of the pole. That's called Tzuz Bezach Benetzad, and that's no good. So what we usually do is we build an Erev, and a giant telephone pole over here, and a giant telephone pole over here. We have a wire going across over here, that's no good, that's Benetzad. So what you have to do is you have to take a piece of wood and connect it to the telephone pole, go more than 10 tefachim. So now we pass in that the wire on top doesn't have to touch, as long as it's directly on top of, that's also okay. It's the Gemara says there, Eng Tzvichin Liga. So you have a new Tzvich HaPesach. Tzvich HaPesach is this, and this, and that's okay. And many, most Erevin in the world today are built using this kind of a system. So sometimes it's very inconvenient to make the piece of wood go all the way to the top. It's very often very easy just to, you know, have it go, you know, 10 tefachim and call it a day. So sometimes it happens like this. So let's say we made it 20 tefachim, right? You know, so it's a good holiday, yes. And then, very often that happens, a car jumped the curb and smashed into the telephone pole and knocked out of commission the bottom of the breaks off the piece of wood. Well, sometimes the wood just rots over time. And now you have a funny thing. Now you have the konemikan, the pole, is starting more than 3 tefachim off the ground. So that's a problem. Right, the is possible the Erev. So there's some cipher that says, no, it wouldn't pass the Erev. You know why? Because a Gedi can't get under that pole. You know why? It's physically impossible because there's a telephone pole blocking the area. So some cipher says that even though this, you're not really using the telephone pole. The telephone is not part of the Erev. It really is the piece of wood, the piece of wood from Home Depot. But because since the piece of wood is being blocked by the telephone pole, so when the little gedi tries to get there, it can't get through because it bumps into a telephone pole. So that was the famous kulu of the Chassam Sofer. So the Chazon Ish thought that was not right. The Chazon Ish thought that even though the Gemara does talk about the b'kiyas gediyim, at the end of the day, Lamais has a shear of Gimel Tvachim, and there's oyster Gimel Tvachim at possible. So you're going to tell me that, wait, it's a Dalmi Hava. Why don't you say that the pole goes from here and then continues to the bottom of the telephone pole, right? You can answer that?
I said the gedim could just go straight through the other way.
Just a practical question. Like, why is he walking at the pole, walk the other way?
No, I want to know, but I'm declaring that I'm using the pole in this direction. So the pole going in this direction, it's trying to link up with this direction. So the chore, I look at the pole in this direction. So in this direction, it's serving as a wall.
It's serving as a wall. Yeah, in this direction, only so that you can't walk the opposite direction. You're not supposed to walk perpendicular.
No, but I'm saying that the role of it as a mechitza, you can walk on the side of a mechitza. The goal is you can't walk through a mechitza. So the pole, which is a pesach, has to serve as a mechitza facing this direction. So here it's got something blocking the Gedi. So the you want what Ravitain is that okay, great, good. So let's view the pole being like this. It starts up here. It can't be just the double ball itself because it's Minatzad. So it starts up here, and then when it gets to over here, so let it just be a little curve a little bit, and let the Bechitza kind of look like this. Then that's the pole. And it just Dalmiach, and let's use the bottom of the telephone pole. So we would sarf the bottom of the telephone pole to the broken Home Depot piece of wood and call it a day. Forget the Chassam Sofer, the
Chazon. You're using the pole.
No, no, I can't use the pole totally because I don't use the top of the pole. I'm using the bottom of the pole.
No,
why not? I'm using the bottom. It's like
you're
using
the bottom of the pole from the top of the pole.
So.
It's a curved wall.
It's a curved wall. So it starts over here. Let's say someone would shave off the entire pole from here. Right? So you have a block over here and then it continues over here. What's wrong with that? So it could be the answer is yeah, it could be it's right. It could be it's Tafi Rochanami. That's type of good. So some poskim were okay with that. Another poskim had like somehow a hesitation that you can't be mitzaref, you know, it's a piece of wood from Home Depot with the who runs the phone company? Yeah? Who owns all the phone companies? So we were doing something in the area of Paramus, so you have to be careful because if the police stop you, so you have to have the paperwork that says you're authorized to be working on poles. So one of the rebbeim, he was working on an Erev in the city on one of the sanitation piers on the side of the river, and they almost arrested him because you're not allowed to be in the city, you're not allowed to stop climb poles and stuff, the permission. So I told the guy who was with me, I said, where's the paperwork? So that Erev had been built like 30 years before. So he dug up a piece of paper that's folded like a million pieces of it, sitting in his pocket for 20 years. Folded a piece of paper that was authorized by the Jersey Bell Company. Jersey Bell was like before AT&T. It's like back from the 70s. They owned the poles. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, we weren't stopped. We were stopped. We were shown a shtar from 40 years before that gave us permission to climb poles.
Okay.
We climbed poles for 40 years. We weren't stopped. So anyway, that's a shaila, whether this would be good or not. So one of the discussions, these are fairly common shailas. So usually what they do now is they don't use wood. Most Erevim don't use wood anymore. And on Tinek, we stop using the wood and lechis in the bottom for this reason, because they tend to rot. So they usually use plastic, like heavy-duty plastic strips, and they usually go all the way up to the top of the wire. We don't like to rely on good acid because it gets complicated. Make sure it's directly under. You have plumb line and razor and laser guns. It gets complicated. So if you take a look, if you walk around the perimeters of Tinek, different places, actually next time, you could see some of the old poles and some of the newer stuff. If you walk around, if you get a chance, walk down River Road. So you'll see, if you just walk from one telephone pole to another, you'll see the black, little black strips that belong to the Eruv. They go all the way up to like, usually to the bottom wire. And then every once in a while, you see like a broken, half broken piece of wood. That's like from the last Gilgal, like before. So if you want to know how much Tinek Eruv has grown over the years, if you walk down New Bridge used to be the end of the Eruv, because nobody lived in Bergenfield. Nobody passed New Bridge, was like a so New Bridge used to be the end of the Eruv. So there are still, Adi and Mazet, 30 years later, there are still pieces of wood, half fake piece of wood, still half full of poles that are part of the old Eruv. But now, anything that's put up now, it's black strips, it's much easier. Also, it's not recognizable. See, let's say a guy comes and sees a little piece of wood, you know, a plank of wood, so he's going to think, what's he doing here? So if we had a black strip, there are 30 other, all the cable companies, we try to make it look as close to the cable company stuff as possible. We're all allowed to do this. We have head to go. We have total permission from the government to do all this. But you want to make it look like any other part of the... So there are a few, there's a couple of lechis here and there in the era that are in like funny places that look like traffic, blocking. They were made in such a way to give the blend that people think they're official. So nobody should think that they reflect in the middle of the dark. They made it in such a way that nobody should. We have a right to do it, but you don't want any nincompoop to start pulling things away. So you make it look like it's part of the phone company.
The Chazon Yishuv says that's the sheer of Ritvachim, because of Lavud.
So that's especially like that's a very lovely type of halacha. Anyway, that's a complicated sugya. I remember when I was when one of the summers in Beit Meir, so we used to stay, we stayed two summers in the Shabu house. You know what Shabu house is? Now I think they use it in one of the dorms. I don't know, they still use it now, but we lived there two summers, lived in the Shabu house. So next to the Shabu house, our neighbors were an Israeli Moshav family, and they owned goats. And there was a wall between our the Shabu house property, which Auntie Zohar was renting, and this nice, you know, nice Moshav family. But the wall had a lot of pierces in it, a lot of breaks in it. And in some places it was like suspended a little bit. It was more than 3 tefachim. And sometimes the goats would walk around. So I was very happy to see that the Kiyas Gedeim really happens actually. I gotta bet me here to see the Gedeim. Okay. Anyway. So Tzuch also such a din. So that's what the Chazanish said, that if the sheets fly off the floor, so then that's called mechitza shein tlui. That's called mechitza shein cholam of neruach. But if you have a mechitza, it's perfectly okay. It's just flapping in the wind, but it's not going anywhere. It's not falling down. It's not being lifted off the ground. So then that's perfectly okay. And others, we're not comfortable with that. So that was a big machlokes about the canvas sukkahs. That was a whole big machlokes about the canvas sukkahs. So those people who were building, when they first started making canvas sukkahs 50 years ago, they were relying on the Chazanish basically that it's not going anywhere, even though it's flapping in the wind a little bit. So then in later years, over the last 30 years, some people started to get all nervous about it, that maybe the whole sukkah is no good. So they saw this thing called the Lovat straps. So the Lovat straps was based on another sukkah in the Sefer Sukkah, that in theory, you could build a sukkah with just strings alone. Less than 3 tefachim off the ground, I put a string going across the hole with the sukkah. Then in less than 3 tefachim, maybe 4 or 5 strings, and I make it all the way up depending on what you shear it. So it's funny, you have to like cheshbon how much a tefach is. So the smallest tefach is 3 and the biggest tefach is 4. So you want to make it go 40 inches. That should be good, even chaznishes, 10 tefachim. On the other hand, you don't want to use 4 tefachim as your real shear of lava, because according to many poskim, that's too high. So you end up, when you do the math, you end up having to need 5 strings because let's say you make the first string a little bit short of 9 inches, so then it's a little bit less than 3 tefachim. Then you make the next string a little bit short of, let's say, about 17 inches or so. Then you make the next string at about 25 inches. The next one at about, 33 inches. And the next one at 41 inches. So you end up having to use 5 strings. So if you do the math, it comes out that if you want to cover yourself on all bases, you have to where's Barak? We need like some math guys here. But that's what's going to kind of end up happening. So then you tie the strings really, really tight. So that's there are some people who do that. So there's a chumrah that the Magen Avraham has based on a Tosis that claims that when you build a sukkah based on lavud, you need 4 walls of the sukkah. It's a chumrah that Rabbana based on some technicality that you need 4 walls. Now it's not clear 100% that even that's 100% true. So, but there are some who are machmir for that. So when they build sukkahs based on lavud straps, they want to put the straps on all 4 sides. The problem is, you can't get in. You walk into the sukkah. So the answer, you don't need an amish on 4 sides. You need a 7 tefachim on the 4th side. So those who want to follow that chumrah, I tell them they should make it 3 sides all around, and then the 4th side, just make it 7 tefachim, and then 7 tefachim width is the minimum of a sukkah. So dal me'ach of the rest. So you have 4 walls of a sukkah.
Yeah, but how does it stand a 4th side if it doesn't go around?
Yes, you have to put it against the pole or something, or you have to do...
Have to tie it against the pole.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, so sometimes what we do in our shul sukkah, so we have... Shul sukkah was made this way. So what we do is we have the lavud strings on 3 of the sides, and on the 4th side we have a piece of wood. So we tied the wood, a wooden piece that's 7 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim tall, we tied it against the frame, so it stays. So that's the 4th wall of the sukkah, so to speak. And then we have the canvas, which is, again, quite the Chazanish, that's good enough by itself. It's a funny thing, because the Chazanish himself wasn't so convinced you could build a sukkah based on lavud altogether. He has a whole other mahalach of the sukkah against Magen Avraham. We should go against the regular conventional wisdom was. But the Chazanish holds its kosher anyway based on the canvas. So I don't, you have to take both chumras together. So the mice, if you have lavud straps with canvas, I think it's good lachol.
Same
focus
by the
year
of the curving, like being strained and like curving using the poles. Does that same machlokes apply by sukkah, where you have to conserve to go off, you have like a curved wall?
No, curved wall per se is okay. Here, some don't like that there's 2 different materials. They feel it's like you have a telephone pole made by, and you have a piece of wood. There's no shaykh, no tzirut to each other. Some people are nervous about that. Maybe. I don't understand why that should be a problem.
Is lovin and gerasim like a bidyevah kind of thing?
No, lovin and gerasim are totally kosher l'chachila. The Ramah quotes a minna, the Ramah writes, and you build your sukkah, it's better not to rely on these things now. Because the Ramah is nervous, he said, not everyone knows the minna properly, he's afraid people will start making mistakes. So it's not like a, it's not like Chazal or Geza, you shouldn't use lovin and gerasim. The Ramah is recommending that, if you don't have to, it's better, it's too confusing for people. So that's what I tell people, but here, anyway, the sukkah is beikar, then the chadish is, you know, we're following the chadish anyway, the sukkah is kosher the way it is. So the yeses eis, you want to be machmer, the ramah, follow ramah's eitz a toiva, you know, vachomer, that's already a little much.
With the lovin straps, so I actually just bought a pack, but it comes in a three pack lovin straps.
Yeah, but those are thick, those are gartel straps.
Thicker,
right,
yeah.
Right. I'm talking about if you're making your own strings, right. If you use the gartels,
yeah.
So then they probably fit where to go. They usually have holes.
No, so I'm turning them around an old canvas.
Oh, an old canvas and cover them. So they should try to, depending how thick the strap, bottom line is you should make sure that you get the 40 tefachim, craft all the 40 tefachim, and then play around with it a little bit.
That should be less than
9 inches. If for whatever reason you can, so Moshe is the middle ground. Moshe says that a tefach is 3.6 inches. But Moshe says that there's a very simple way to figure out what a tefach is. Ramosha, you know, different machayis from Chaim Nof and Chadish, from 3 inches to 4 inches. So Ramosha said, the way to Machari is he did an experiment. He went to the yeshiva one day, MTJ, took all the guys in the kollel, lined them up, measured their fists. The average fist was about 3.6 inches. So he said, that's the
shiur. He hold it up by like six, just like the size.
He hold it to bend their eyes. So that's the shiur. The shiur is Rufi Mida Tefach Benini. So they were open out. Ramosha was very into doing things and Rufi Reis Ha'ayin, like an Ervin. Ramosha had there was a big machlokes about Europe already about. The thing is that the wire has to be directly on top. So how do you mishar that? So do you just look up? Or do you have to shoot a laser gun or something, or plumb lines and all kind of scientific kunsum to make sure it's mamash directly? Because the truth is, if you look up, it's not really going to be right. Your perspective of looking directly up is warped. It's just optical illusions. So if you plumb line something, you'll see. You'll be shocked that you're off. So Moshe said the Torah wasn't given for plumb lines and laser guns. The Torah was given in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. He stood on the floor and looks. Okay. That's the din. The din is mikvah based on what Lufi Reis and Adayim. That's what Moshe said. That's what Moshe also when he has his famous tshuva about Teis Kechavim. So he asked Moshe, when is Teis Kechavim in New York? So Moshe went out on the street in the FDR drive, looked up, he saw stars. Whatever time he saw stars, he said, that's Teis Kechavim. So he said, I remember the time, says it's much longer. He said, I remember the time. I'm tired. It's stars. So whatever time there are stars. So the problem is, Moshe looked at the FDR, drive is a very lit area. So I can say, really, yes, but Ramosha, I don't think it was being conveyed like the Masmeirim exactly. You know, he was just saying that it can't be later than this. That's what Ramosha said. It can't be more than 50 minutes. He said, I'm standing in my front of my house and I'm looking at the sky's full of stars. It can't be more than 50 minutes. It's impossible. Ramosha, you want to keep 70 minutes from it? Yesterday, he said, I was saying to be a day. Okay, you know, you want to do that. But to say that's meager at dinner, Ramosha said, there are stars. What do you want from me? There are stars in the sky. That's the Sheikh Hazal said. So the post can point out that if you go along those lines of reasoning, say you don't go to the FDR, you go to you're in the mountains, and there's no light, and you look up, and you'll, by 32 minutes, 30 minutes, maybe 40, you'll see stars. So Ramosha wasn't saying no, Ramosha was just saying they didn't take him to the to Camp Aguda to go look up the mountains, he looked outside. So Ramosha just said, 50 minutes for sure, could be it's earlier also. But he said 50 minutes, he's not really the super getting more than 50 minutes. Also right, so yes, I said, he's a machmir to Malabrach, he might take a little bit longer. Anyway, back to this story. So we try to see a little bit some of the issues that come up. One of the other last things is terms of the sukkah. The big, big issue in sukkah is the trees. That's the biggest problem. So also, it goes to Tachs Ilan. I don't have any real good answers for that, except for getting tree chopped down. And then you have to just get some guy to come before sukkahs and just trim the branches. And so even if it's 50 feet up, it could potentially pass the sukkah, or even if it doesn't pass the whole sukkah, the part that you're sitting under is a problem. You gotta make sure there's no trees in the bottom one. And it's not so easy to tell.
just also a few rosh einayim, or is this?
That's also part of the same shaila. It's part of the same shaila. If you go a few rosh einayim, reality is you're going to be way off. You're going to be mamish way off in terms of what the mitzvah is. So I remember when I first built the sukkah in our house, I would build on a deck. We don't have any trees, bach shalom trees anywhere near it, but we have a little bit of a ledge protruding from the top. So I moved the sukkah over about a foot. You know, it's hard to tell exactly. It looked like it was fine to me. So we shot a laser gun, you know, up, and it was it cleared it by the beam of light cleared the schach by a long shot. So it wasn't. It was a few inches off. So you know that there's nothing, the mice, and there's nothing on top of you.
But don't go and pass the area where it's
going. Yeah, yeah, I'm saying that. I don't want to have any big book. I want to build a sukkah. I want to have one to be out of. When I grew up, so we had a sukkah in the parking lot. So we weren't the Bali Dover there, so we had trees growing over. So we had signs. Nobody sits here, you know. You know, those days, today's world is hard to put up those signs, but in those days it wasn't so politically incorrect to write up. Only the following people could sit in those corners, and those were fucking, you know. Building a sukkah, build a sukkah, yeah, build a sukkah, and three clothes in a sukkah, so it's out to lunch. So, okay, we'll talk a little bit during the Drush, okay?